Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sara Main, and thank you for joining me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. I'm so glad to have you along. Dhammayanti means peace and calm. Dhammayanti sheds a light for your soul through the wisdom that shines in the universal language of Sanskrit. Dhammayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Join me now on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, and be inspired and uplifted by the beautiful light of this profound, timeless wisdom. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sara Main. And it's great to have you along. And today we're going to be talking about the three great lessons: restraint, generosity, and compassion. And there's a beautiful story from the ancient Sanskrit wisdom tradition, and it illustrates these three great stories. It's a wonderful story. And each lesson meets a particular challenge that's all too common in life. You can meet it every day. And there's such treasures to understand and discover in restraint, generosity, and compassion. And it's such a beautiful way it's packaged in this story. So the story illustrates how a simple syllable gives us three great lessons. And I've talked about Dhammayanti, the actual word Dhammayanti, and my new project, and how I'm showcasing spiritual jewelry with the Sanskrit messaging on them and a few other items aimed at helping people on the spiritual journey, on their soul path, so that you can keep that resonance, that energy with you. And I've spoken about the word Dhamma, which is in Dhammayanti, that word Dhamma, and it actually means calm, restraint. And I've related it to the opening scenes of the classic story of Nala and Dhammayanti, King Nala and Prince Nala and Princess Dhammayanti, from the epic story, the Mahabharata. So that's by way of a little intro. So cultivating and mastering this quality of Dhamma, calm restraint, is incredibly useful in everyday life, especially in study or work or family matters. The ability to exercise calm restraint pays huge dividends. And in fact, I was talking about this calmness and stillness in my previous show about getting out of your comfort zone. It is an absolute go-to practice. It was one I learned from the get-go when I was 10 years old. I didn't know how profound it was. It was just simple and obvious. At 10 years old, it's simple and obvious and not a problem. But through my life, I realized that is, no matter what's happening, no matter how difficult, dramatic, challenging, wonderful, there's just this anchor straight back to stillness. It doesn't mean you don't feel things, but you just have that stillness within, and it's hugely powerful. And it's absolutely true that that those who've embarked on a journey to higher consciousness really value that ability to fall still, be calm, and gently restrain any limiting habits that are stumbling blocks on the way. And so it's a great aid to progress. So let's get into this wonderful, beautiful traditional story, this traditional tale, originally written in Sanskrit, of course, in the Mahabharata. And it tells how the practice of virtue, including Dhamma, can overcome negative impulses and habits. So this is how the story goes. It's quite detailed, so follow along with me. The great lord of the universe, in Sanskrit called Brahma, created three types of being. There were the gods who lived in the heaven, mankind who lived on earth, and the demons who inhabited the darker lower places, the nether regions. And each had their own nature. The gods, mankind, and the demons each had their own natures. The gods were radiant and powerful and majestic. Mankind was industrious and inventive and inquisitive, and the demons were energetic and strong and full of vigor. But each of them also had a weakness that kept them from fulfilling their full potential. So when the gods ruled in heaven, then peace and happiness held sway everywhere. In heaven, the gods lived in a blissful realm of pleasure. Of course they did. They fed on ambrosia and nectar, and they listened to celestial musicians and choirs praising their beauty and their virtue, and it was all lovely. They played and they danced and they feasted. Can you imagine? Okay, they were beguiled by the pursuit of kama. And kama means sensuous delights and pleasures. Kama is a Sanskrit word. So this meant that the gods were unprepared when the demons grew jealous and waged war on heaven. Taken unawares, the gods were sometimes driven from heaven because they were overindulging in all their pleasures. Until the demons could be dislodged, the gods were driven from heaven. And when they were driven from heaven and the demons were in the ascendancy, then cruelty and violence and selfishness and conflict became the order of the day. Mankind, on the other hand, lived on earth, and people busied themselves with their responsibilities and their duties. They worked hard producing food and wealth. They made laws and they protected their families and their clans and their societies. And they toiled in their fields and built houses for themselves and temples to the gods. And each person sought to acquire good things for themselves and their families and those with whom they lived. And for some, acquiring wealth became a driving obsession. For others, it was friendship. Others sought more and more knowledge. Still others sought to increase their physical health and strength. And others desired supreme military might. Nothing wrong with that in itself, but whatever they believed to be good, people wanted more and more and more of it. So that's the clue. That's the weakness in the human nature, in the nature of mankind. Everyone became slaves to lobha, which is acquisitiveness and greed. In other words, acquiring more and more and more rather than being satisfied when it's enough. And the demons inhabited dark places and they delighted in inflicting harm and creating conflict and discord. The demons definitely had a weakness for krurata. These are Sanskrit words, krurata, which means cruelty. They were jealous of the gods who lived in heaven, and they were jealous of mankind who lived on earth. And they were naturally inclined to ruin anything that was good and true and harmonious. They delighted in disrupting the lives of men by sowing discord and anger and hatred and jealousy on earth. They were especially pleased when they could build up their strength and attack heaven itself and overthrow the gods. This threw the universe out of balance until the gods regrouped and got their strengths together and rebuilt. Then the gods were able to defeat the demons and send them back to the dark nether regions every time. The gods always prevailed, but they had to kind of get themselves organized and wake up and start defeating the demons. It was never instantaneous, took a little time. So Brahma, remember, he's the creator, saw all of this as he looked out from his divine golden palace. And he pondered the problem for a long time until, in his meditation, he discovered the solution. So he sent a message to Indra, the king of the gods, to Manu, the lawgiver of men, and Prahlada, the leader of the demons. And he sent them a message, and each of these three beings obeyed the summons of the heavenly creator. They arrived at the throne of Lord Brahma, where he sat next to his consort Saraswati, the goddess of divine energy and wisdom. So the creator has a consort, the goddess divine energy and wisdom. Just a side note, you didn't know that wisdom in Sanskrit is feminine. Brahma sat silently as Indra, Manu, and Prahlada took their seats. Then Brahma, the creator, spoke a single syllable and he pronounced da, da. The sound echoed throughout the entire universe. when it ceased to reverberate, Brahmar looked at his visitors and asked each one of them in turn, "Have you understood the meaning of what you've heard?" They bowed one after the other and answered that they had indeed understood what they had been told. And they didn't have to say anything more. And then they left and went back to their realms. So Prahlada, the king of the demons, returned to his people and addressed them all. He said, "We are the demons. We delight in conflict and war and cruelty. This makes us angry and aggressive. Although we can conquer the gods and men, this ultimately divides us against each other and renders us weak." And the heavenly creator Brahma spoke the syllable Da. So to overcome Kruta, cruelty, we need to practice Daya, Daya, compassion. This is how I interpret the teaching of our father, the creator Brahma. So Daya, compassion. Then on the other hand, Manu, the great lawgiver of mankind, he returned to earth and spoke to his people. "We are human beings," he said. "We spend our days working without end, seeking to acquire more and more of what we think is good. We have become acquisitive and greedy. As well as acquiring, we must learn to give." The heavenly creator spoke the syllable Da. To overcome lobha, greed, we therefore need to practice dānam, dānam, generosity and charitable giving. This is how I interpret the teachings of our father creator Brahma. So now we have Daya, compassion, overcoming cruelty, and Dānam, generosity and charitable giving, overcoming greed. And when Indra returned to the heavenly dwelling place of the gods, he addressed them as well. We dwellers in heaven are seduced by pleasures and delights, and this is what makes us weak and vulnerable. The heavenly creator spoke the syllable Da. We must learn to restrain our desire for luxury and pleasure. To overcome kama, pleasure, we need to practice Dhamma, calm, disciplined restraint. This is how I interpret the teaching of our father Brahma. So this is how the story ends, but its meaning has obvious relevance and resonance for us. And we'll take a break, and I'm going to then unpack what the three great vices characterize for each types of being of the creator, and then how that single syllable Da, which is at the root of Dānam, Daya, and forgotten the other word, Dānam, oh, Dhamma, Dhamma, Daya, and Dānam. Those three great lessons are all contained in that surprising and beautiful syllable Da. And these are three great lessons for us all. So we'll take a break and come back and unpack this wonderful story. We'll see you soon. While standing in line to pay for lunch, I heard a young man say to the lady next to him, "It's okay, I'll pay for you." I assume they were together, but in the ensuing conversation, it became clear that they didn't know each other. The young man said, "I try to do something for someone else every day. Today, you're it." He smiled. So did the lady. So did I. So did everyone who heard. This is a great example of Mahatmyam, having a great soul. This greatness of soul is infectious. It spreads. That young man's action delighted everyone there. That lady has a story to share with her friends and family. I'm now sharing it with you. Random acts of kindness are incredibly powerful. It's the power of a great soul, Mahatmyam. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this greatness together. And check out my website, damayanti.store. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today we're talking about the three great lessons. And these are all contained in that beautiful single syllable of Sanskrit, Da, And these three great lessons of restraint, calm restraint, generosity, and compassion. And before the break, I was telling you that beautiful story from the Mahabharata. And before I unpack the story and its relevance and resonance to us, if you're interested in finding out more about Damayanti, check out my website, damayanti.store, damayanti.store. There's links to buying my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success. The book's full of stories and practical accounts and practices. And I unpack some of the wisdom that's in Sanskrit that's relevant to each point I'm making. And it really does open up our view when we go back to some universal wisdom in Sanskrit. And on my website, there's a blogs with tons of articles. And there's links to my other shows. There's a podcast linked, and all my shows are streaming there, so you can listen to them in the archive. And I'm also on social media, on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. So do go and check out my website, damayanti.store, for all good things for your soul. There's lots there to nourish your soul. And, of course, I have all these beautiful, I have 8 collections of products of Sanskrit themed products: prema, love, shakti, divine energy, abhyasa, restraint, kshama, patience, balam, strength, prana, the breath of life. I can't remember them all, but there's 8 of them at the moment. And there's beautiful jewelry, so you can keep the energy and resonance of these messages close to you, and that makes a big difference in your soul path. It helps you stay connected. So back to the story. Let's unpack some of this this relevance to us for these three great lessons. And it's all in that single syllable da. So in the story, these three great vices characterize each of the types of beings of the Creator. And the gods were overly fond of pleasure, humanity was acquisitive and greedy, and the demons reveled in cruelty and inflicting suffering on others. And honestly, if we do a bit of an honest health check on ourselves, we could find any of those things within ourselves. We can call it shadow, vices, our weaknesses, challenges. Enjoying the good things in life is great, but, of course, if it goes overboard, it becomes a debilitating weakness. Working to acquire good things for our family and for ourselves, there's nothing wrong with that, but when it becomes all too all-consuming and we're fixated on that, then we just want more and more and more until nothing else interests us. It's the acquiring is the focus. And then that's a limitation. And then avoiding the cruelty of the demons is easier to understand. All of us, I'm sure, would like to think that we're basically compassionate and kind and tolerant, and I'm sure we all are, and we are, we just are. But every day these small acts of kindness, like a smile or opening a door or helping someone or doing something for someone else, caring for someone. But if we're not careful, you know, we can have that sort of hasty and thoughtless word or the passive-aggressive retort, or a guilty pleasure at someone that something that doesn't work out for someone else at work, a rival at work, or resentment when things and people don't respond the way we want. We all have those elements in our natures as well. And the story of Brahma, the Creator, and his instruction to the gods, mankind, and the demons contains such advice for us. And it's all in this single syllable in Sanskrit, da. So first we've got dhamma, that calm restraint, and we can start, you know, with simple things where we might overindulge in too much food or drink or spend too much time watching TV or sleeping too much. We all have our own unique list, and no one, you don't have to tell me about it, but just start by something that's achievable and start seeing whether you're driven by this sort of desire to just experience it more, have more of it, and overindulge basically, and just put some simple restraint in, you know, just eat a little less perhaps, or watch a little less TV, or spend a little less time on your screens or something, somewhere where we just really indulge and it causes a sort of debilitating weakness in us. Just start putting some restraints and move, try to move on then to harder and more persistent temptations. Excuse me. And then there's, so that's dumma, calm restraint. Now notice the calm. It's not tough and, you know, getting into a sweat about this. It's the, just the calm restraint. You could say making better choices, more discerning choices. And when enough is enough, enough is enough. And the essence of measure is knowing when to stop. Then there is dana, generosity and charitable giving. And I'm sure many of us give already to our favourite charities and give very generously, and that's just beautiful and wonderful, makes the world go round. But if you feel drawn to do a little more, then great, you know, that extra few coins at the checkout, if there's a box to some charity, especially a local charity, then drop them in. You know, just always be on the lookout for opportunities to give. And then that can be opened out into giving in the mental and emotional realms. And I find particularly giving full attention, listening with both ears, especially when you've had enough of listening, someone who talks a lot maybe or has a lot to share, and you've had enough and you can't just walk away out of consideration to them, to actually just make it a discipline to give full attention and listen with both ears and open yourself up completely is a mental and emotional discipline, and it's a form of giving. And I find that over the years has been incredibly helpful to practice. And I was taught by my spiritual teacher, which is got, you know, an amazing lesson, that if you feel you lack something, give that. So whatever you think you lack, give that. So, you know, for example, if you feel you lack companionship and are a bit lonely, then give that. Just feel that sense of companionship and give that energy out, and you will find yourself, you will find that companionship comes to you in forms that you like and you want, and you don't need to feel lonely. If you feel that you don't know very much, then share your wisdom and your knowledge. Connect with it and share it. If you lack love, then be affectionate. Again, it's not a one-size-fits-all prescription. Take the principle that if you feel you lack something, then that's what you give. Give that. And start practicing that, and you'll be amazed what you can discover. So that's charitable giving, dana. So far we've had dhamma, calm restraint. Notice the calm restraint. Then dana, generosity. And the final one is daya, compassion. Take a deep breath and take an honest look. Just have a look where microaggressions and resentments may cause speech or actions that are not so kind or compassionate or forgiving. And, you know, it can be an everyday thing, especially if you're online a lot. So take an intelligent stand and let that first impulse, that hasty word, fall back. Even if it's a hasty word that you're typing, or a comment or a judgment that you're going to type, or especially a hasty word that you may speak, let that fall back, let those words fall back, and then let the words that do come out of your mouth be positive and uplifting. So that was a discipline also given by my spiritual teacher, and that takes calm restraint to catch when it's about to come out of your mouth or you're about to type and say, no, is that compassionate? Just let that fall back. If it's not, just let it fall back and then see what you can say, either in written form or speaking or whatever it is, and just let the other four back, and then give something that is uplifting, that leaves people feeling better about themselves rather than reduced, because you'll feel better about yourself as well. So all three lessons, calm restraint, generosity and compassion, all three amazing lessons, universal lessons contained in the single syllable Da, and that's in the wisdom of Sanskrit, and that's in the wisdom tradition contained in the Mahabharata. So, and you can imagine that is a great story to tell children, especially if you act everything out and get them to act the story out as well. It's a really fun time, and the kids love it, and such a wonderful lesson, and they get it. They get it straight away. So these practical tips are wonderful, and they're really uplifting, and you too, this opens up a whole new doorway in your life, and you can acquire the qualities and virtues of the gods, radiant and majesty, you know, radiant majesty of humanity, industrious creativity and reason, and yes, even the demons, power, vigor and energy, and all of those energies are within yourself. Because you are a universal, limitless, infinite being with sovereign energy. So stand in your power, stand in your sovereignty. And to finish, some beautiful Sanskrit. This is a prayer for all. May all be happy. May all be without disease. May all see only good things and none be in misery of any sort. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Damayanti or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, damayanti.store. That's damayanti.store. Damayanti.store. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.